This is Bhakti Vikas Swami, and he is our...
And Anuj Mahaprabhu knows my name.
I know your name. And I see him in India from time to time. But I was asking him his history when he took sannyas and his times in Bangladesh, and he'll tell you that, he said. So we get all the dates and times right, because I don't know all those details. I just know he's a great devotee, and we're happy to have him.
No, you got it wrong. You got it all wrong. Well, you're happy to have me. That's your... Vaishnav nature. That's, well, as I wrote in my book, Jai Srila Prabhupada, I can not only tell you about this life, but I can tell you about my previous life. I have knowledge of my previous life. In my previous life, I was a dog, and I'm still a dog, but now I'm Prabhupada's dog. That is my life story. And yeah, I wandered in the door of ISKCON and they mercifully accepted me in 1975. In 1977, I went to India with the intention of staying there. And more or less stayed, although it was quite a long time, in Bangladesh and other places also. So, Om Jnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. So on Prabhupada's order, I'm also writing books. So maybe you could see some of them afterwards. And speaking is also kirtan. Hari Katha Kirtan. Where is that? Hridaye Balila Keba Dayeta Dashera Shiva Gopidhana Katha Kirtan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that someone told in his heart that the service of Dayata Das, namely Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is Gopidhana Katha Kirtan. Katha Kirtan, speaking or discussion and glorification of Gopidhan. So Gopidhan means the treasure of the gopis. Who is that? Gopi Parana Dhana, Krishna. There's another discussion of what is Gopidhan, that Swarasiki Siddhi Braja Gopidhan. The treasure of the gopis is their opportunity to serve Krishna in their own particular mood. Anyway, I don't usually talk about the gopis much because that's a very high level. We should aspire to be Gopi Bhartur Dasa Dasa Anudasaha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu identified himself as the servant of the servant of the husband or the maintainer of the gopis, who is Krishna. So the title for this talk has been given in advance by myself as Srila Prabhupada's hopes for Krishna consciousness in America. Because for me, every time coming to America, you see it's such a big country and the most important country in the world. And Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he put so much energy into preaching Krishna consciousness in America. Srila Prabhupada's hope was for preaching Krishna consciousness not only in America but for all over the world. Srila Prabhupada wanted to see every jiva liberated from the bondage of Maya and engaged in the service of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada didn't see American, Indian, Chinese, Muslim, Hindu because he was Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gabihasini Shuni Chaiva Shvapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. He was Samadarshi, seeing everyone, not only human beings, all grades, highest grade of human being, lowest grade of human being, animals, seeing all on the same level because all are part and parcel of Krishna. He wanted to give Krishna consciousness to every living being he came into contact with, that is the symptom of a pure devotee of Krishna. But nevertheless, preaching means, preaching Krishna consciousness within the material world means too, there is some consideration of strategy and tactics. So Srila Prabhupada often in America would quote, yad yad acharati sreshthas tat tat eve tarojanaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanubhartate, that whatever great, those who are considered the best in human society, whatever they do, everyone else likes to follow. So, from the perspective of human culture, America is not the best. Anyone noticed? It's... They don't know. They don't know what is Vedic culture. They don't know what is the purpose of life. But in people's estimation, Americans are very important because it is the leading country in the world. And Prabhupada saw that Americans, they have some energy, some capacity, they want to do something. It seems to me that since Prabhupada was here, American people, they don't have as much energy as they used to have. They're not as... I mean, they're being taken over by Indians and others in certain sectors. But at least in that generation, there was the mood of wanting to do something. And Prabhupada, that passionate energy, Srila Prabhupada took that and engaged that for, well, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. That people who... 2 weeks ago they'd never heard of Krishna, and now they're going off somewhere to open a new center, maybe in another country. Prabhu Vishnu Swami Maharaj, he told me that he joined, actually he's from Ireland, and then he first got a book in New York, and that same day he was going back to England, so then he came to England, he got the Bhagavad Gita in New York City.
What year?
Oh, I don't know exactly. He must have been about 72, something like that. Then he went to England, and he went to join, and he would join the temple there. And within, then very soon after that, he was sent to Cardiff, which is in Wales. It's not a very big city, but so many devotees came from Wales, because the Welsh people love, one thing is the Welsh people love to sing, and they're good at it too. And he got many good devotees. Kirtan leaders from Wales. Religious singing, that's their culture. Baptists, they love it. Welsh are famous for singing. So anyway, he was sent there, he was a new bhakta, and within 2 weeks, he was taught all the basic philosophy, how to cook, how to clean, how to play mridanga, and kartels, how to lead a kirtan, how to give a class, and he was in charge. The devotee who was in charge moved off and went to open another center. And of course, that method had its drawbacks also, as we learn later on. putting immature people in charge. But the spirit that led us, this Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. And actually it is wonderful. If we're not feeling the bliss of Krishna consciousness, if we're not feeling how wonderful it is to be in Krishna consciousness, then we're not in Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness is not some mundane religious sentiment, but it is the elixir for the soul, the life of the soul. In Krishna consciousness, one is Navanavarasa Dhamanudya Dharantama Asit. This Yamuna Acharya says that since I've been experiencing at every moment the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So, to be in Krishna consciousness means to always be enlivened. And because Krishna consciousness means to be conscious of Krishna, and Krishna is conscious of everyone, and Krishna loves everyone, not in the cheap concept of love, which is floated around, just love. You just love everyone. But love, it's an unexpressed, just saying that Well, we love everything, we love everyone, but the focus of love, the object of love, the center of love is Krishna. And that love for Krishna, it's not just a feeling, but love means practical action, reciprocation with others. Many times in India, I give the example that the man comes home from work and the wife says, "Oh, I love you." He says, "Very good. Where's the dinner?" She said, "I didn't cook anything, but I love you." So he would say, "Well, better you don't love me, but cook something." And actually in traditional Indian culture, this is not a good example in America because, you know, the wife doesn't cook any dinner. The wife probably comes back from work later than the husband. And in India also it's getting like that nowadays, that, you know, man and wife gets married and then he finds out that the wife doesn't even know how to cook a chapati because she's a double PhD or something, but she can't cook a chapati. So love means practical reciprocation. In the traditional Indian culture, the women don't say, "I love you." They don't go around saying, they don't have to. I mean, if you cook, you clean, and it's understood. It's just that you don't say thank you all the time. In Western culture, every time you have to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And I come from India and I forget, and people think you're really rude or something. It's understood that people serve each other. So anyway, there's all this interaction of service. The devotees serve Krishna, and in the higher levels, Krishna serves the devotees also. So that love of Krishna, even if we can attain it in even the beginning stages, we're talking about people who are devotees who came to Krishna consciousness, and very quickly they're preaching it, because even pure love of Krishna, we may be a long way from that, but even the glimmer, even the beginning of Krishna consciousness is so much better than anything the material world has to offer. Even the very beginning of Krishna consciousness is so attractive and so purifying that devotees want to share that with others. So if we don't have that spirit of wanting to share Krishna consciousness with others, that means that, well, we're not really in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan, that's for sure, because in previous ages, Krite Yadhyayatam Vishnu, people would meditate on Vishnu. Meditation is not really a preaching thing. You don't go door to door asking people to meditate. It's not something to get excited about. But it's a solitary activity. But Sankirtan, the more the better. For meditation, the less the better. If you're on your own, then it's easier to meditate. It's difficult to meditate when someone's trying to strike up a conversation with you all the time. So they're meditating and saying, "Yo, what kind of prasadam do you like best?" Halava. "How long have you been a meditator?"
25 years.
Yeah. It's difficult to meditate. You don't want anyone. But for Sankirtan means the more the better. The more people there are for Sankirtan, the better it becomes, because Sange Shakti Kalo Yuge, in Kali and Krita Yuga, you get strength from individual meditation. But in Kali Yuga, strength comes from numbers. So the more the better. Bahu Bhir Militva Yat Kirtanam Sankirtanam. Sankirtan means Sangha, glorifying Krishna together. When many people come together and glorify Krishna, that is called Sankirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, he is Krishna. He is Krishna in the mood of Radharani, relishing the nectar of Krishna. How wonderful is Krishna? He wants to know. Krishna wants to know how nice I am. Everyone else is, they're praising how beautiful I look, how beautiful is the sound of my flute, and how wonderful I am. So they're all enjoying loving me. I must be pretty good. I'd like to love me too, but I can't because I'm me. All right, so then he takes the mood of Radha Bhavidyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but his mood, his feelings are that of Radharani, looking for Krishna. So, Radharani, she is the Radha and Krishna together, they are Bhagavan. Generally we say Bhagavan means Krishna. But Krishna is complete Radha Krishna. She is the, in the language of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's the predominating moiety and the predominated moiety. There are the two parts of the Absolute Truth. So Radha and Krishna combined are the Supreme Truth. But Radharani, she represents the compassionate nature of the Supreme Lord. He is compassionate, no doubt. But especially Radharani is very compassionate. And when Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the mood of Radharani, she's not only looking for Krishna for herself, but she wants that everyone should serve Krishna. So this is the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And Srila Prabhupada, seeing that America is the most powerful country, most respected country, most enterprising country, he put a lot of stress on preaching Krishna consciousness in America. He said that if the Americans take it up seriously, then the whole world will follow. And practically we see in India, in 1971, when Srila Prabhupada had probably not much more than 1,000 disciples, at that time he was going to propose to Indira Gandhi that grant, and most of his disciples were American, that grant immigration to 500 Western devotees. He wanted for India at that time. That means he was practically half the movement. He wanted to go to India because Prabhupada knew that the Indian people are very impressed by seeing Westerners, especially Americans, because everyone's impressed by success, and America is materially successful. So that we see in India how the people are following America in everything. All over the world. The Muslim countries there trying to reject it. But, well, that's a generalization, because while the strict Muslims are trying to reject the Americanization, there are others who want it. So you'll find the women in the burqas on the street and in the miniskirts at home, or jeans, which are considered not proper according to the Muslim clerics. So India's following all the worst things that America has to give. It would be good if they followed some of the good things, like civic cleanliness, less gross corruption. I'm sure there's corruption here also, but it's not as gross as in India. Yeah. Hygiene, civic cleanliness and hygiene, so that would be good. But instead they're adopting all the worst things. But that fascination for America that can be used for Krishna consciousness also, even You see, the Indians have come to America. When they go back to India, they become very important people in their village area. Is it? People think it's something very, very prestigious. You see, even in the villages in Bangladesh, you'll find so many Bangladeshis, they're working as construction site laborers in Dubai, toilet cleaners. When they go back to Bangladesh village, they're big men, they're working overseas. They're cleaning a toilet in Dubai, but they're earning a lot more than any or most Bangladeshis are earning. So they think it's something very wonderful. Oh, he's a big man. So these are all actually foolish, mundane sentiments. Why should we think that Americans are better? Because they're better at indulging their senses, or better at opening slaughterhouses, or better at making weapons for destroying the world. But people are foolish. So even that foolishness can be channeled in Krishna's service. That out of this predominantly materialistic culture, if some people take to Krishna consciousness, that is a great statement. Because all these countries, just like India, they're madly, they want to be materialistic. But if they see that those who have had this, or are born into that opportunity, if they say that this materialism, it doesn't bring happiness, then people take that seriously. So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted, many times he said, America should lead the world by Krishna consciousness. And you were just saying about giving a book to Clinton. Well, that happened also when Nixon was the president, that his daughter got Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada was very pleased with that. That was reported to Prabhupada. He was very pleased. And he said Prabhupada was very hopeful. Srila Prabhupada was very hopeful that the intelligent class of men, as he used to say, would take notice of this Krishna conscious movement. Because if you see Prabhupada's books, they're written in a way that anyone of standard literacy can read them. But they're actually aimed at making people devotees, but the level or the concepts, it's definitely meant for intellectuals. It's not comic books. You can make comic books out of Bhagavad Gita, but it's never going to be the same as Bhagavad Gita as it is. You can get a general idea or a vague idea. But this is philosophy, and not philosophy like, what is it? I got the V at the beginning, but I couldn't remember the name.
Vasilios.
Sounds really Lithuanian to me. It's from Greece. Oh, Greek background. He's studying philosophy at the university. But as Prabhupada would say, that is philosophy. Because they don't even know the philosophy. But for all their talking, they don't even know the very first thing that Bhagavad Gita states, which is the difference between the soul and the body. They have no idea of it. They have no idea where even philosophy should begin. It's just their rambling mental thoughts, which change all the time. There's no basis. Their philosophy is described in Bhagavad Gita. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahuranishvam apratishtam. Means there's no basis, there's no point on which every philosopher can agree. It's just my thought, whatever I perceive or whatever. So asatyam, there's no fixed absolute truth, and there's no God in control. This is the philosophy of the demons. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to give this knowledge. He saw that Srila Prabhupada, in his travels, He traveled widely in America, and he liked to meet with intellectuals, university professors, newspaper reporters, and sometimes he'd roast the university professors for being such rascals. I mean, he'd sometimes shout at them and this and that for cheating people, for teaching. Just like one man came to him and Prabhupada, he said, "So, you're a professor, which subject?" He said, "I'm teaching Hinduism." And he said, "What do you mean by Hinduism?" So he gave this professor, gave what he thought was a very clever reply. He said, "I don't know." So Prabhupada turned to Sri Damodar Das Brahmachari, who's recently passed away, and said, "Oh," he addressed him, that, "Oh, he's also PhD, this Sri Damodar Brahmachari at that time." So he said, "What do you call someone who purports to teach something that he doesn't know?" And Sri Damodar Maharaj said, "A cheater, Prabhupada." So Prabhupada turned to the professor and said, "You see, he's also a PhD. He says you're a cheater because you're purporting to teach that which you don't know." Another time, and a professor came to Prabhupada and said, "What are you teaching? Biology." Prabhupada said, "Poor frogs. And you're cutting up the frogs for advancement of science, so-called advancement of science, cutting up the frogs." So Srila Prabhupada cut up. I have water, thank you very much. Do I sound like I need it? No, actually I had a very bad... this is the first lecture I've given for about a week in which hasn't been punctuated by coughing and my voice fading away and all this kind of thing. So Srila Prabhupada did cutting up also. He would cut up all the wrong theories. Srila Prabhupada cut through the relativism which goes on as philosophy in the modern world. There's nothing fixed. My opinion. People always ask, what is your opinion? What do you think about this? As if it's something actually important. What is your opinion? As if it's something sacred. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Prabhupada was against this. What is this opinion nonsense? How can we know anything? We should take the opinion of Krishna. Right? What is your opinion about God? Well, I don't believe in God. Okay, there's no God because I don't believe in Him. Is that... What are you going to do? Take votes? There's some... Atheists claim that 24% of the people of the world are atheists. So if it became 74%, would that mean there was no God? Because by vote, everyone said, "No God, no God, no God." Okay, must be true. And then God says, "No you." Whaps them all. And then you take birth as a frog, and then you can croak, "No God, no God, no God, no God, no God." That's and the snake comes. You haven't heard, have you? You get lots of frogs here. Maybe not so much. You have to go to Bangladesh. That's the frog capital of the world. They're even exporting to France nowadays. Because French people like frog legs. It help lift up the economy of Bangladesh. The Bengali word for frog is bang. So, bang. So they became Bangladesh. So you hear them all in the rainy season. And then the snakes come. The snake can find them and gobble them up. So the people who like to deny there is God, they are gobbled up. That saying that they like to say there's no God. There's a graffiti someone wrote, some I don't know. There's Nietzsche, the famous another German philosopher, certified madman, but considered one of the most important philosophers of the modern world. So one of his famous sayings is, "God is dead." So Nietzsche himself died when? It was late 19th century, something like that. So someone someone having read Nietzsche's madnesses, called philosophy, thought this was a revelation to them, and they wrote it on the wall in big red letters. God is dead, signed Nietzsche. And then someone else came along and wrote, Nietzsche is dead, signed God. So all these wrong ideas. It's amazing how we're talking about America, how it's such a big, powerful, influential country, and everyone's confused. It's called the United States of America, but actually, where's the unity? What identifies one as an American? It's more and more confused, and the whole society has been built up on materialism and selfishness. So where's the unity? What's the unity? Everyone has their own different stupid opinion. No one has any idea of what the actual goal of life is. People are this mental disease, depression, and schizophrenia, manic depression, and how many others are there? Just stressed out. It's endemic, everyone practically. What is it? Prozac, that word. It's a well-known, everyone knows the word Prozac. It's like saying cornflakes or something. Everyone knows. I never heard it until 2 years ago. So I came to America, so I say it's on Prozac. On what? On Prozac. You never heard of Prozac? It's an American well-known word. It's for what? Depression, I think, is it? Or stress or something. Mental depression. Is there any other kind of depression? I guess there's pancake depression. Mental depression. Tire depression. Someone lets your tires go. Yeah, it's for depression. So you take your Prozac. But it's all artificial. It's not real. It's the great artificial American smile. Let's see. Put on by everyone in the film industry, the advertising industry, everyone in a shop, unless they're in a really bad mood, in the airlines, everyone wears a smile because you have to do it to be a salesman, or otherwise you lose your job. You have to appear friendly. But it's smiling up front and screaming inside. Time for some more Prozac. Then we can smile. Srila Prabhupada was compassionate. He saw these people are so confused. Therefore, he preached, as he said, he wanted to preach Krishna consciousness up to his last breath. So those who are the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we should at least try to imbibe that mood to some extent. Prabhupada's mission is to save the whole world from the darkest ignorance. People are suffering so much. We can't even imagine. By Prabhupada's grace, we're chanting Hare Krishna. And those who are chanting Hare Krishna, we actually have a very nice life. We don't suffer depression. Of course, some devotees may have some mental problems. But if we actually apply ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness, we won't suffer depression or inordinate anxiety. We have nice food, nice association. We have a very nice life. But we might forget how much we were suffering before we came to Krishna consciousness and how much it is our duty to take up the mission that Srila Prabhupada gave us to spread Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada also had a very nice life. He was living in Vrindavan. He had a nice view over the Yamuna River. And he could have stayed there and just, you know, rung some bells, did some arati and chanted Hare Krishna. He would have been very happy. But he always felt, my Guru Maharaj, his order is there. We have to spread Krishna consciousness. We have to do something to help the suffering people of the world. So Srila Prabhupada came out in his old age. Of course, the body of a Vaishnava is always transcendental. But even a pure devotee, they apparently go through different bodily conditions. So Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't one to complain, but sometimes there's arthritis, old age. There's a ringing sound in my head constantly. Prabhupada had that for many years. He couldn't sleep. He said, actually, that's good. I can't sleep. But he could only sleep very little. So Srila Prabhupada took all difficulties to spread Krishna consciousness. And he wanted his followers to take up that mood and mission, which is the natural thing to do of anyone who's imbued with the spirit of Krishna, of Krishna consciousness. Now, of course, over the years since Srila Prabhupada has left this world, there have been various difficulties that have taken place in the Krishna consciousness movement, and the individual members have also suffered various difficulties in their personal lives, and it may be difficult for us to have the faith that Krishna consciousness can deliver the ideal that Prabhupada gave us. So some devotees feel bitter, others feel discouraged, and others feel, well, just let me, I'll just do my Krishna consciousness. But for all the internal difficulties ISKCON has suffered, the basic mission is the same. That there is Krishna. For all our failings, Krishna never ceased to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He never will do. And by applying ourselves to by seriously taking up Krishna consciousness, then we can attain to Krishna. We can, if we chant Hare Krishna, we'll take Krishna prasadam, study Bhagavad Gita as it is, and we can have faith that Krishna will be merciful to us, Krishna will help us. So that process is there, we can follow it, and we can induce or attempt to induce others to follow it. People are still suffering birth, death, old age and disease as much as they were 30 years ago. Even more they're suffering. So the need to spread Krishna consciousness is even more. And actually the atmosphere is better in many ways than it was at that time. People are much more open and receptive to our movement. In fact, many times often people ask us that, you know, they see a rare devotee walking in devotee clothes and they say, oh, what happened to your movement? You're doing that, you don't have jeans and all this, I hope. No. So you can go everywhere and do everything in these clothes, especially brahmacharis, of course. But many people appreciate, and as Srila Prabhupada said, that people are hankering after these books. At that time we couldn't understand because it didn't seem like they were. But nowadays, more and more, we're finding that people are actually very pleased to receive our books. One devotee in Russia recently told me that it's happening to him regularly. That people come up to him and say, oh, you've got Hare Krishna books? Give me. Let me see. I got this one, I got this. Oh, give me this one. I don't have this. How much is the price? More and more that's happening. Despite our own internal difficulties, people recognize our movement as being something genuinely spiritual. That it's not a movement of eat, drink, sleep, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. It's not sensualism in the garb of religion. That these books, there's genuine spiritual knowledge. People can appreciate that. Otherwise, why are they coming? Often we find people there, oh, I read this book, give me another book. They appreciate it. They may not understand it fully, but they're appreciating that. And what's more, that despite internal difficulties that our movement has undergone, is undergoing, and probably will continue to undergo in future, because we're pushing on Krishna consciousness in the material world, and the material world is it's not utopia, it never will be. The material world also always presents us so many tests and obstacles. But despite all this, ISKCON is the movement that can deliver Lord Chaitanya's message to the people of the world. It's still relevant. The movement is still relevant as much as we make it, because the movement is not made up is not so much made up of GPC resolutions. It's made up of the devotees who move. It's a movement. So, as much as we take up the activities that Srila Prabhupada gave us, studying and distributing his books, chanting the holy names of Krishna in our temples and in public, holding festivals, distributing prasadam, meeting people and impressing upon them the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita as it is. If we do that, then the movement will, it has its same potency as ever, maybe more so at the present time. So, definitely, we've all over the world, we find that nowadays there's tremendous scope for spreading Krishna consciousness. Tremendous scope. Always people all over the world, people come up to us and ask, what is this? We're dressed as devotees. What is this? How can I find out more? This morning at the Heathrow Airport in London, one young man came up to me and said, I'm from Ahmedabad. I'm working here in London now. Where's your center? I always used to visit your center in Ahmedabad. So, and not only Indians, all class. That when I was coming into England, the devotees were greeting me with nice flower garlands, and so many people were standing around there appreciating how nice that is. They're not envious, they're appreciating. So there's very great scope. So I can simply request you, all of you, individually and collectively, to do what you can for spreading Krishna consciousness. It's not that just by saying Jai, the whole of America is going to become Krishna conscious, but it requires sustained effort by the devotees. Everyone's input is required. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to everyone is Jare Deko Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh Amaragya Guru Hoya Taro Edesh. So everyone makes a difference. And even those of you who have come from India, you may think, well, what does it matter, America? But you're living here. So you're living here, you've taken shelter of this country materially. So having the opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness here, it's also your duty to Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help with the spreading of Krishna consciousness here. Srila Prabhupada said that all the Indians come here to get something, either education or some money or some, but Prabhupada said, I've come to give something. So having come here, you shouldn't just take, but you should give. You can distribute books. So many Indian in Seattle. So there's a whole group of Indian-bodied devotees who are distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And they just stop people and say, I'm from India and we have some books of the ancient Indian knowledge. And many people take it very happily. In Seattle especially, Indians have a good name because so many of them are employed in Microsoft and they're known to be intelligent, well-behaved, moral people, family people. They're not, you know, what's the word? Loose. They have family values. So the Indians are well respected there. Here, on this side, it used to be the Indians in the West were really looked down on, but I think their stakes have gone up a lot, isn't it? With the influx of software engineers they're bright people, no doubt.
Same in Virginia too. Hmm? Virginia is one of the places where there's a lot of Indian software.
And India itself is materially, its status is coming up in the world. So people judge for all the wrong reasons. Actually, India is the best country in the world, not America, because of India's spiritual culture. But neither the Indians nor the Americans understand that, nor anyone else, nor even our devotees, it seems, in many cases. They want to, they actually, this, not exactly Indian culture, we say that, but Vedic culture, that's the basis, or the social basis of Krishna consciousness. That's something very valuable, which if people kind of, Western world, the social life is a disaster. Actually, America's finished. The signs are there. It's a hit. When you start having religious weddings for homosexuals, you know it's finished. That's a sign. Any civilization which becomes so degraded, hidden and hedonistic, then it's finished, because they don't have the power to, they don't have the energy to, that it takes to maintain their powerful position. Like I was saying, the Americans nowadays, they don't seem to have the same zest as they did a generation ago when Prabhupada was here. So, decadence means it's finished. It's just a matter of time. It might go on for some time. Like the Roman Empire dragged on for a few hundred years, and then it was just totally smashed by barbarians, and the Turkish Empire went on for a few hundred years and it was just crushed. You can't maintain your strength unless you have some principles, even materially. Even materially, if the people are disciplined and there's some measure of sense control, then it can sustain. But Prabhupada said that America, they can't maintain this unless they take to Krishna consciousness, then they can remain as leaders of the world. We're not that much interested in who's leaders of the world, because our motto taken from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. We don't want name, fame, glory, beautiful women, but it would be good if America or anyone else would lead the world in Krishna consciousness. The opportunity, Prabhupada saw, there's better opportunity here, because you're already leading the world in so many ways, so why not just switch to Krishna? Instead of leading it to hell, why not lead it to Krishna? So there are a few thoughts. I always feel a little... I mean, obviously, if you're living here, you don't feel so excited. But when I come to America, I always feel a little excited, because it's the land of opportunity. It's the land of opportunity for spreading Krishna consciousness also. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, protests, or anything else? Protests are also welcome, if they're presented at least somewhat intelligently. Yes?
I have a question about, I'd like you just to explain a little further, maybe, how in the beginning you were saying how if we're Krishna conscious, we're automatically feeling happy within ourselves.
Yeah.
And to help this movement grow and attract other people, as well as even within our society, to help each other. Could you just give a little bit more explanation how we can enliven each other, how we can encourage each other?
How we can encourage each other? Well, if ourselves we're feeling encouraged, then naturally that will spread.
The importance of encouraging each other.
The importance of encouraging each other. Yeah, well, that's human psychology, isn't it? If we're encouraged, then we feel more inclined to do the same thing again. That's how children are trained. It's not, you encourage them if they do something good, and only if they do something really bad, you punish them. But even the encouragement comes at age-wise long before the age of punishing, isn't it? You have children, I presume, yeah. Well, it's easier just to thwack them, but then they don't grow up being very nice, and they thwack other people physically and mentally like that. So, yeah. You are encouraging me by coming here and listening, because I've come to speak. A sannyasi is supposed to speak, but it's more encouraging if there are people to hear. Prabhupada said, I didn't get any encouragement from my godbrothers, but still I've come on. So Prabhupada said, if you're not encouraged, you should go on. But it helps if there's encouragement. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, when some of his disciples told him, they went to a meeting, but no, the meeting was no one came. They didn't meet anyone. So he said, so they just came back without doing anything. So he said, no, you could have had a program. You could have, at least the four walls will hear you. That was his mood, that Harikatha, discussion of Krishna, should go on. But it is, yeah, it is easy if we encourage each other and help each other, no doubt.
Well, it seems one of the most important aspects of encouragement is to encourage each other to read Prabhupada's books.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get encouragement by reading, that's true, yeah. We'll get encouragement by reading Prabhupada's books. Because Prabhupada is communicating Krishna consciousness, and Krishna consciousness is the natural happy condition of the soul. And we get hope from reading Prabhupada's books, isn't it? It's, you know, we might feel a little down or depressed or something like this. So we, how am I ever going to become Krishna conscious? And we open Prabhupada's books and we find that Krishna is still our best friend and Prabhupada's still our best friend. And there is hope even for, even if we're fallen, or even if we're not feeling encouraged, we'll get hope from reading Prabhupada's books. And actually, so many of our problems in our spiritual life come from not doing that. If you read Prabhupada's books regularly, we get strength, encouragement, enthusiasm, the knowledge by which we can distinguish between Maya and Krishna consciousness. Everything's very clear in Prabhupada's books. So, very good point.
And if I make another small point myself.
Which actually I make all the time myself, isn't it? You know me. I'm always telling you.
You do.
I'm saying to these devotees here, two of them who happen to be my disciples. So, I'm always telling them, read the books, read the books, read the books.
Another important point is when we're reading, because you're talking about distributing Prabhupada's books, when we read Prabhupada's books,
then you want to distribute the knowledge, yeah. When we read the books, we want to distribute it. Yeah, please.
How do you find the energy and enthusiasm to chant the japa every day?
How do I find the energy and the enthusiasm to chant my japa every day? Well, I never really think about that. I mean, I don't think, today am I feeling the energy and the enthusiasm to chant. But, well, like I said, I don't really think about it. It's just, every day we have to chant. And when you've given your word to Prabhupada, and then how can you think of not doing it? It's like, you know, you know, how do you get your energy and enthusiasm to brush your teeth every day? It's just, if you don't brush your teeth every day, if you get up in the morning and don't brush your teeth, I'm too busy to brush my teeth. I don't feel like it today. It feels horrible, doesn't it? Sometimes when you're sick, you don't brush your teeth. You just don't have the energy to get up and move to the bathroom. So that can happen. But then you feel, ugh. So if you don't chant your rounds, then you feel, ugh. Got to chant. I don't know, does anyone else have any answers to that one? Yeah, okay.
Well, the thing is, we're doing a Vaidhi Bhakti. So Vaidhi means whether we like it or not, we have to do it. So sometimes there may be some situations where you know one day one can really
it's a habit, like I was saying, it's a habit, like brushing your teeth.
We have to make up, then the next, even if we miss some rounds, one day we have to make up for it the next day.
Where's your wife? Prabhupada says a good wife gives encouragement to the husband. So I'll tell her to get on your case. You're chanting your rounds a day? Why are you chanting your rounds a day? Get out of here. I don't want to see you. Lock the door. Don't come in this house. Chant your rounds. You're in Maya. That's a good wife. You can quote me on that. What are the symptoms of a good wife? She doesn't let her husband chant less than 16 rounds a day. She stands there.
She's a temple president.
Yeah. Treasurer. Home ministry. You don't have home ministry. That's a British saying. Husband and wife have to encourage each other, especially this kind of situation. Prabhupada wanted that we have communities in which grihasthas can live. Not only grihasthas, all the four orders. And then we, by living together, we can encourage each other. In the absence of that, well, it's up to each of you to encourage and help each other. Sit with your wife, and she's a devotee since birth, and you are too, and say, hey, what are we doing here? We got this nice house, we got beautiful children, we got nice friends, and what are we doing with our lives? Where are we going? You can sit and talk like, I mean, I don't know how you deal with your wife. Every man deals with his wife a little differently, as far as I understand. Everyone's an individual, and every couple are different couples, but you can do this family planning. Plan our lives so that we go back to Godhead together and bring our children with us. And then see what we have to do. It's a serious business, isn't it? Being a father. Very serious business. Apart from providing all the material needs, Guru nasasyat, Swajano nasasyat, Pita nasasyat, Janani nasasyat, Daivang natatsyan na patischa sasyat na mochi adhyas samapita mrityum. One shouldn't take the responsibility to be a guru, a relative, a father, mother, or husband unless he can deliver his dependents from birth and death. It's very heavy responsibility. It's much more than it's a heavy responsibility to, you know, pay the taxes and look after your children. That's a heavy responsibility. I just read the other day, yesterday, the famous purport in which Prabhupada says that in Kali Yuga it's more difficult to maintain a small family than it is to maintain a big empire. So it's not easy, but there's a heavy responsibility to impart Krishna consciousness, and that begins with the parents themselves being Krishna conscious. So you can do it. There are many working people all over the world who chant Hare Krishna. And with the way the world is these days, Prabhupada said that modern leaders will force you to work like hogs and dogs. They'll force you to work like that. More and more work. So many family men and women who are working, they chant their 16 rounds, maybe not the best quality, because, you know, maybe they're on the bus going to work, or that's not the best way to do it. But still, the fact that they're making the effort to do it, is glorious, and Krishna will appreciate that. In many cases, I see it's not possible for grihasthas, the way the life is lived in the modern world. They can't have a full morning program, because the kids go to school at 7 o'clock or something. They have to get up before that. And in India, at least, they cook something for them before they go, to give them, to feed them breakfast, and again something to carry to school. So, and especially if you have young kids, it really upsets your, you can't have any plans, right, when they're very little. It's moment by moment adventures, as looking after the little kids. So, yeah.
It's actually really only one.
I just want to make the point that It can be, it might not be reasonable to accept the same level of sadhana for grihasthas in the modern age as those of brahmacharis or sannyasis living in the temple, but it can be done. There are many grihasthas in a similar situation to yourself who are chanting 16 rounds. And the commitment to do that, Krishna will appreciate that, even if it's not the best quality. So I'm not saying chant bad quality rounds, but I'm saying somehow or other, having taken the vow to do that, we should fulfill that, and Krishna will appreciate that, and he'll reciprocate, and you'll feel happy enough to go on doing it. But Maya is very strong also, so I'm saying you've got your wife to help you, so you would help each other to keep on the track, because without doing these things, where is the Krishna consciousness? Yeah, you're going to say something, Payaniti Prabhu, and then I'll ask Mataji. Oh, you want? Yeah.
To that about for grihasthas.
Yeah.
That Prabhupada also had said that this, you know, like we, even our ordinary duties, doing it in the right consciousness to give Krishna to our husband, children, wife, in a nice environment, spiritual environment, then that is also preaching or sadhana.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Preaching means charity. Prabhupada said charity begins at home.
There was one Mataji who was doing deity worship with a little child.
Right.
Srila Prabhupada said, no, your child is your deity.
So now, he said, no more deity worship for you, now baby worship.
Yes. So in that sense, it's like the consciousness of that you're doing your preaching, you're doing your sadhana by giving Krishna to your family.
Yeah. And if you can take it beyond also, that's good. Just if you can preach to the neighbors and take a few books out time to time, distribute them, or if you can't do that, at least sponsor some book distribution like this. Anyway, from what I can see, I don't know you very well, but you seem to be a very nice devotee. So you're not doing that bad. Don't get depressed. Just pick up your bead bag. This is the alternative to Prozac. Yeah, what were you going to say?
Well, first of all, the perfect example we have of the fixed up grihastha is Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yeah.
That would go to bed very early, which is really seems to be the answer for a grihastha. Because in the temple, you always have the pressure of you know, you have to be at the program. But when you're in a grihastha situation, you have to be mature yourself, and you have to be responsible to go to bed early enough. And actually, the earlier is the better. Actually, with small children, you have to go. The children have to go back.
That's true. What's the time?
And then you get up and you.
It's getting late, isn't it? And yeah, they have to get the kids off to school in the morning. I think we should finish. Actually, we're going over time. Here. It's 9:40. For me, on London time, it's almost time to get up. It's 2:40 in the morning. Okay, let's finish there. Thank you for reminding us. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and if you chant your rounds, wise. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.